Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sarvatmanat Samadvisho.
Sarvatmanat Samadvisho.
Yadvayasyana Hankrite.
Yadvayasyana Hankrite.
Tatkritam Mativaishamyam.
Tatkritam
Niravadyasya na kvachit.
Niravadyasya na kvachit.
Sarvatmanat samadvisho.
Sarvatmanat samadvisho.
Yadvayasya na hankrite.
Yadvayasya na hankrite.
Tatkritam mativaishamyam.
Tatkritam mativaishamyam.
Niravadyasya na kvachit.
Niravadyasya.
Sarva Atmana.
Sarva
of one who is present in everyone's heart.
Of one who is present in everyone's heart.
Samadvishaha.
Samadvishaha.
Of one who is equally kind to one and all.
Of one who is equally kind to one and all.
He certainly.
Certainly.
Advayasya.
Advayasya.
Of the absolute.
Of the absolute.
Anaham kvite.
Anaham kvite.
Free from all material identity of false ego.
Free from all material identity of false ego.
Tat krita.
Tat krita.
Everything done by him.
Everything done by him.
Mati.
Mati.
Consciousness.
Consciousness.
Vaishamyam.
Vaishamyam.
Differentiation.
Niravadyasya. Niravadyasya.
Freed from all attachment.
Freed from all attachment.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Quachit.
Quachit.
At any stage.
At any stage.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Being the Absolute Personality of Godhead, He is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone. And He is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever He does is free from material inebriety. He is equal balanced. Purport. Because He is absolute, there is nothing different from Him. He is Kaivalya. There is nothing except Himself. Everything and everyone is the manifestation of His energy. And thus He is present everywhere by His energy, being non-different from it. The sun is identified with every inch of the sun's rays and every molecular particle of the rays. Similarly, the Lord is distributed by His different energies. He is Paramatma, or the Supersoul, present in everyone as the supreme guidance. And therefore, He is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living and all living beings. When He therefore exhibits Himself as chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in His exalted position. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates Him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Since He has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because He is absolute spiritual identity, there is for Him no superior or inferior action. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, He has no false ego. And so He does not identify Himself with anything different from Him. The material conception of ego is equal-balanced in Him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of His pure devotee. It is the glory of the pure devotee that only He can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. Okay, this verse should not be taken out of context. We should see it in the context of the verse that goes before it and the one that comes after it. The verse before it reminds the Pandavas that this Supreme Person is the same one, Krishna, whom you have engaged in your service as your chariot driver and your messenger. He's your close friend. Consider that. He's not only the Supreme Lord. And the next verse will say, despite his being equal to everyone, he's specially inclined to his devotees. How merciful he is. So these three things have to be taken into... Well, there's two things. There are two ways in which the Lord gives sustenance. There are two separate topics in the Bhagavatam. Stana and Poshana. There is the general maintenance for everyone, for all living entities, and there's the special support he gives to his loving devotees. And this is a mystery. The Vedanta Sutra addresses it. How can he be completely equal, unbiased, and show special favor to his devotees? There's something about Naigrinyam. The sutra, I don't remember the exact sutra. How, you know, the Purvapaksha is that the Lord is biased, that the statements that he's unbiased are false, because he shows bias in favor of his devotees. But, no, somehow, yayatam mahapapajante tamsta daiva bhajamyanam. Krishna equally reciprocates with everyone. But those who show hate, he shows hate. Those who show indifference, he shows indifference. And those who show love, he shows love. That's not biased. It's simply responding in kind to everyone. Anyway, that's the philosophy. We should try to get a sense of the bhava here, what Bhishma Devi is feeling. He's about to leave his body. I'm sorry, it's Bhishma Devi is talking. Yes, Bhishma is talking. He's talking to his beloved grandchildren. He's talking in the presence of his beloved Lord. So this is not just a philosophy classroom. Just talking Vedanta philosophy. So many sages are there. They can all explain Vedanta excellently. Bhishma Dev doesn't have to do that. But he's revealing the bhava, the mood of such a great pure devotee. The amazement a devotee feels. Philosophers, they may get some excitement out of their philosophical cogitations. They get some mental pleasure out of their speculations. But devotees get transcendental enjoyment from their loving relationships with the Lord and with other devotees. That's what's more significant here. The wonder of Krishna being absolute, and his being impartial, and his being special to his devotees. Otherwise, first of all, if we don't see Krishna as everyone's friend, then he's just an object of fear. Fear of God is inculcated in some religions. That's the proper attitude for immature, very immature devotees. Krishna Bhaktas, they should be afraid of God. They should be afraid of Maya. And afraid of punishment. And that's their motivation. Kanishna Bhaktas and members of certain religions that are very much Kanishna Bhaktas, they have to fear God, fear his retribution, and fear his material energy. Because they don't have love, and they don't have a proper understanding of their duty and a strong sense of duty, responsibility, they have to be motivated by fear. Middle class devotees are motivated by a sense of duty and gratitude. And then advanced devotees are motivated by ecstatic love. In any case, there's the motivation to serve God on one of those levels. But even the Bhagavad Gita, which is elementary instructions by Krishna, you don't think of Bhagavad Gita as rasa shastra, but it is. Because the near rasas, the nirasaka, dry religionists who could only fear God, They cannot even grasp the whole statement of Krishna in the Gita. Definition of the absolute controller. Bhoktadam yagatapasam. Sarva lokamaheshvara. But that's as far as they go. Allahu Akbar. You know, God is great. God's the supreme controller. The proprietor of everything. Ishavasimidam sarva. Therefore, do your duty or else you go to hell. That's what the Ishopanishad says. If a man does his duty, Ishavasimidam sarvam yadkinchit jagat jam jagat. So this Ishopanishad is teaching in these three verses Kanishta Bhakti. Everything belongs to God. Tena chaktena bunjita magvidat kasya swedanam. Therefore, everybody has their quota allowed them, and they should not be greedy for more than what they deserve. Jijivitek chatam sama. If you can live like this, then you can live a decent and happy life for 100 years and then die and hope to get a better birth. Else, asurya namate loka andena tamasa vrita. Tams te prejavi gachanti yeke chatma anojana. If you don't obey the law of God, you will go to hell. So this is the message for those who have to be taught how to fear God. These bhoktadam yagatapasam sarvalokamaheshvaram. As he enunciates in the Gita, the Gita Upanishad. But the Gita Upanishad goes one step further than the Isha Upanishad. Yes, he's the supreme enjoyer of everybody's work. He's the proprietor. And we're all working for him and his corporation. And he can claim sovereignty, that power of management, because it's his property. It's not a regular it's not a public corporation. It's a sole proprietorship. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He has no shareholders. He owns the whole existence, material and spiritual. It's all his property. Sole ownership. When a company is managed as sole ownership, one person owns it and has to answer to his shareholders, stockholders, that he has absolute control over the company. He can do what he wants. That's Krishna, the supreme autocrat, the supreme dictator. But we've had enough dictators. We've seen them and they're horrible. They're the worst people are the dictators. But God is not just the biggest dictator. The Gita goes one step further. Suri dam sarvabhutanam. I am everyone's friend. Sarvabhutanam. Even the dictator has some friends. Even Stalin had a few people he didn't live long enough to kill. Yeah. He had a few friends. He had his daughter, who he took care of, and his pet dog or whatever. So even the worst dictator has some friends. But Krishna, the supreme dictator, says he's everybody's well-wishing friend. Surid is not just a companion that, you know, thieves who enjoy the booty together, who share their, you know, the fruits of their thievery. No, well-wishing friend, not just companion in crime, but well-wishing friend who actually wants to help and improve his friend, wants to do the best for his friend. That's Suhrid. And Krishna is the Suhrid of every living entity. That's the level of understanding what Krishna is talking about here, Bhishma Dev is talking about. Sarvatmanat samadvisho. The Paramatma, the soul of everyone, who sees everyone equally. Advayasya. He doesn't perceive in terms of duality. He has no friends, he has no enemies, he has no likes or dislikes, no agenda, no selfish motives. Anahankrite, because he has no false identification. He's not an arrogant fool who has to manipulate other people and keep them inferior to himself to serve his own false ego. He doesn't have a false ego. And therefore he's beyond duality. That is the understanding. Suridak sarvabhutana. And if we look, maybe not in that verse, but elsewhere in the Gita, Krishna reveals even more. Bhaktosi me sakacheti. Arjuna, you're my devotee and my friend. Therefore, I'm revealing to you the highest knowledge. I'm, throughout their acquaintance, Krishna gave so much favor to Arjuna as a friend. And now he's giving the highest favor, special favor, as his spiritual master. Rahasyam etaduttamam. Bhakto sime sakache ti. Rahasyam etaduttamam. I am now going to speak to you the most confidential secret that is not revealed in the Bible and the Quran, or even in the Isha Upanishad. I'm now going to reveal to you in the Gita Upanishad. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mamil. Just be my devotee. Give everything to me. Depend on me. Worship me. And I guarantee I will take special care of you. If you just be my devotee. And every living entity has that potential. Only human beings are capable of realizing the potential. And only some human beings can actually do it. But the potential is in every soul. To just be Krishna's devotee. And then Krishna shows special care. Loving care. Special privileges allowed to his devotees. And it's not judgeable as bias. It's only fair. So that is revealed by Krishna in the Gita, and it's going to be revealed by Bhishma Deva in the next verse. Okay, I won't read the verse. I won't go ahead. That is actually, well, I can go back to the previous verse. I don't want to give away the next verse. The previous verse was also talking at that level. Yam manyase matuleyam priyam mitram surittamam akarok sachivam dutam sauridad atasarati. O king, that personality whom, out of ignorance only, you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Krishna submitted himself to the control of the Pandavas because they were so dear to him. Prabhupada says something like that in this purport. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates him as the chariot driver or the messenger. In a sense, Prabhupada also talks about him being the chariot driver and counsel of all living beings. That's the super soul in the heart. But it's different. For the pure devotees, he comes out of the heart and he directly submits to the desires of the devotees. It's okay to have desires, but we should submit our desires at Krishna's feet and let him fulfill them. He'll do that for his devotees. Even the neophyte devotees are gradually coming to that level that Krishna will give them everything, will fulfill all their desires, gradually. But the impure devotees, the imperfect devotees, their desires are not correct all the time. Their desires aren't completely pure. So Krishna discriminates. He gives immature devotees what they ask, if it's good for them, and if it isn't, he withholds. He makes some excuse. So Just like the child is demanding something from the parent, and the loving parent wants to give everything, but he's not going to give something harmful. So he makes an excuse. He says, yes, I'll give it to you, but it's not available right now. You know, he even makes a lie. You know, makes some excuse not to give what the child wants. So Krishna also, he puts so many ridiculous obstacles in our path just to not let us have the bad things that we want. Otherwise, he'd give us everything immediately. If we were pure, he would. But because we're not pure, he has to put obstacles, make excuses for not fulfilling our inappropriate desires. Pure devotees suffer obstacles also, but that's different. That's for their glorification, that's part of Krishna's pastimes. What's the sense of having pastimes in the material world if everything goes smoothly? Why not have them in Vaikuntha, where there's more facility? So the special facility of the material world is that there's all sorts of material obstacles, and they can add spice to the leelas. So Krishna takes advantage. He gives his pure devotees so much trouble to glorify them, to increase their love for him, and to amaze everybody who observes how the devotees are submitting, how they're tolerating. A devotee's tolerance of tribulations is his ornament. Just like a vain person will wear an attractive dress, even if it's very uncomfortable. You know, these business suits that people walk around in are not comfortable. That's why I don't think I can ever go preach in China if I have to dress like that. I haven't, you know, worn pants in a couple of years. So I don't know if I can do that. And what to speak of, you know, women in the 18th, 17th centuries, pain they had to go into just to get dressed up. People do that just to make a good impression on other people. Dress nicely, even if it's extremely uncomfortable. So, similar to that, I just wanted to make an analogy. Krishna adorns his devotees with tribulations, his pure devotees. He gives them trouble so that they'll look impressive to other people. Krishna wants, the devotees are not vain, but Krishna wants his devotees to look impressive to the world. So he dresses them up in tribulations, in troubles. And the devotees tolerate the troubles and persevere and succeed despite the troubles, and that makes them look very good in the eyes of the world, the devotees. One reason why Krishna does it. Certainly the Pandavas are famous and glorious because they tolerated all their troubles. And if there weren't any troubles, it wouldn't be so dramatic and they wouldn't be so glorified. So what? They were born with silver spoons in their mouths, they assumed the throne, no quarrel, no conflict, they ruled, and no one would be interested in it. They wouldn't be glorious in our eyes. They'd still be loving devotees of Krishna, but the rest of the world wouldn't be impressed. So to impress the world, Krishna shows how his devotees can tolerate. Okay, so if we have something to tolerate, we should also accept it in that light. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Is the stage of fear of God necessary in everyone's life or progressing devotee?
It's not necessary to be a third-class devotee. It's the only way third-class devotees can be made submissive, to motivate them by fear. But it's not necessary to be a third-class devotee. You can bypass that or go through it very quickly.
If somebody is beyond that, what before on the level of fear of God necessarily of.
Well, at least in ISKCON, maybe if you go to the, you know, this or that church, you know, they're going to make you want to fear God. That's the way they do things. But here in ISKCON, that's not our style. Our style is to get you onto the second class platform right away. You know, in a matter of days, we can take anybody off the street and engage them in preaching work on the second class level, where we can give you duties, you know, up to your ears. We can give you so many responsibilities. Even a raw recruit can be given so many responsibilities in Krishna's service. And that way we boot him, you know, his bootstrap program to start the computer. So we boot them up to the second class platform immediately. That's the ISKCON program.
Sure.
By giving them service. Yeah. Then you're given so many responsibilities for Krishna's service. I got to sweep this floor. If this floor isn't sweep, if I don't peel these potatoes, then all Krishna's devotees will go hungry, the deed is going to be. And you serve out of a sense of responsibility. You know, peeling potatoes or whatever. So that sense of responsibility is the mood of a second class devotee, serving out of gratitude and sense of duty. So ISKCON, the power of Prabhupada is to be able to give that transcendental mood of responsibility and gratitude to anybody who will receive, who will accept it. Immediate second class devotion. And from that, love will develop. That's better than someone cheaply advertising that he can give you love of God in 2 weeks. Don't trust that. That's like some cheap Chinese, you know, phone for 3,000 rupees and has all the features, but it'll fall apart in 2 weeks. So better, Prabhupada is offering us reliable goods. It may take some time, but it works.
I just want to clarify for myself. Tolerance is very important. And sometimes, for example, if you see monkey do his business, and you can say, okay, I have to tolerate. Or you can just clean it. So when we can do something for devotees, should we tolerate and be indifferent, or we can change it for the pleasure of devotees?
If we can change, sometimes you have to fight. It's not that you tolerate all abuses. Sometimes you have to protect yourself. Not necessarily by fighting, but you have to protect yourselves. And certainly you have to protect other devotees if they're being abused. So it's not tolerate everything. It's not, the rule isn't that you have to tolerate everything. We should have the power of tolerance. We should be more tolerant than a blade of grass. But sometimes you have to fight for Krishna. With that mood of tolerance, Yudhishthira was extremely tolerant. He didn't care for the kingdom for himself. But it was clear from Krishna and from his brothers that he had no choice but to fight. So he was obliged to, although he was inclined to tolerate. So we should be inclined to tolerate, but sometimes we have to fight. Then when it's our duty, we fight. So we should, anyway, that's the point. We should be tolerant. You know, we have that quality, but sometimes we have to act as if we're the opposite. Okay, yeah. All right, is that it? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.